podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run.
How do you feel about your dad is now an ultra-marathoner?
I think he's an idiot.
What do you think about your dad being an ultra-marathoner now?
You're completely insane, not just normally insane.
Hey, buddy. What do you think, buddy? Oh, what a cutie pie.
Hello, this is Chris. Welcome to the Run Run Live ultra-marathon wrap-up episode 30. Today, I have some friends of mine on a conference call who participated in this race with me. So we have our four experts on our panel. We have Dan, my friend who rode his single-speed mountain bike on the Vermont 50, and he did it in 6 hours and change. We have Scott Remick, who we listened to in one of our episodes. He's a first-time ultra guy, and he ran the Vermont 50 in 8 hours and 40 minutes. And we have Ted McMahon, who also jumped in, was going to run, but he had some internal problems and had to drop out at the 25-mile mark. And we have me, who I ran a 904, had a blast too. We're going to interview those guys today. Plus, I'm sticking in my audio that I took from the race to wrap it all up. So that's what we're going to do today. Actually, I got an email from Danny Dreyer from Chi Running, who I think I'm going to get him on an interview as well. So there you go, man. We're cooking with gas, so I hope you enjoy the show.
Communicate, please. Now, this may be your first time, bikers, that you're participating in an event with runners simultaneously, and vice versa. It's very important to communicate. The bikes can go very fast, particularly on the flats and downhills, doing a lot of those, and you can startle the living daylights out of us if you come up behind us, because believe it or not, you're very silent. So just communicate and talk, and runners, same thing. If it's a single track and it's steep up and the biker is pushing that bike and walking, please communicate. If you want to go by, talk to the person. We pride ourselves on the friendly spirit that goes on here, so let's continue that. Please do that. X's, there are signs. And I need an X, the next one.
It's like Sesame Street.
Big Bird down here. Okay. X's, if you see an X, doesn't matter the color background, it could be pink, it could be yellow. If you see an X, that means please pay rapt attention. Be cautious. If you see a W means wrong way. Mike doesn't know how to spell. I know wrong is spelled with an R, but in this case, it's with a W. Okay. So all of you here, the operative color is yellow. Yellow background arrows such as this. You're going to see blue arrows. That's for the 50K run. Okay? Yellow. And the entire way, you're following yellow arrows. Okay. On the count of three, what color are we following? One, two, three.
Yellow.
You betcha, man. That's not how brave we are.
All right, this is Chris. We're here at the start. What's your name?
I'm Beth.
And John.
John.
Some experienced trail runners. It's about
mother-daughter team.
Mother-daughter team. Oh, that's great. 624. It's about 64 degrees, maybe 20 degrees Celsius. Looks like the rain held off, but it's misty and overcast. I think we missed the brunt of the rain. I think it's not going to be too sloppy. It's only going to be sloppy in the low bits. So I'm pretty excited about this. All right, guys. This is going to be fun. Ted is Chris Road, 4 miles? 4.2 miles. Piece of cake, all dirt roads, now we're going into the woods. Feel great. Very nice people here. All right, that's mile what? 8? 8 station?
8 point.
We went up a nice mountain, came down the backside. Going up another one. I think you can just repeat that from now on. We'll be okay. And meeting some nice people.
Everybody's feeling terrific.
Everybody's feeling terrific. But I think I may have gone a little fast. I wasn't expecting so much road on that downhill. Certainly not going to fight it. All right. Through mile 12. A lot of up and down. Trails are good. No mud. Everything's pretty cool. People are nice. I think I might be going too fast, but hey, life's good. There's my college buddies. How you doing?
Good job.
Glad to take some audio, so.
What are we here?
I think that's 18 point something, right? And we're here at about 319, 318. So, how you feel?
Well,
me too. Feel great.
Yeah.
A little hillier than I thought.
But, there's a 30 I got back here.
Yeah, I got a bag at 32 as well. So, feeling good, taking some sort of nutrient every half hour. Taking an Enduro Light every 20 minutes. Energy level's good. A little sciatic, piriformis. Nothing's going to kill me. A couple hot spots on the feet, but hey. That's what happens.
And now for our featured interview.
Okay.
All right.
All right. We got everybody now?
Yep.
Well, you have Ted.
I got Buddy and Chris. I heard Dan.
Yeah, I'm here.
Scott's out here. Hey, Scott. How you doing? So anyhow, what I want to do is I want to do the Vermont 50 wrap-up. And we've got a great selection of athletes here. I'd say, you know, elite athletes and prime elite athletes.
You got it.
And if the sport involves drinking beer, we're right there. But we got four people. We got myself, Chris, and I ran the Vermont 50, and I ran it in 9:04. And we got Scott Remick, who ran it in an amazing 8:40. So I want to know how you did that. And I got Ted McMahon, who
did the DNF. I did the Vermont 25.
The Vermont 25. He DNF'd, but it wasn't because he couldn't handle the sport. It was because he had some internal hemorrhaging problems, which he chose not to continue, which is a different story. And I got Dan Healy, who we talked to before, who rode it on his single-speed mountain bike. And so we're going to go around the table, and you guys can tell me what your experience was like, you know. And I think it was, Scott, it was your first time, right?
Yeah, that was my first ultra marathon. Anything that was my farthest beyond 26.2 race, yeah.
Yeah, it was my first ultra, too. My longest, you know, my longest running one was a 36. Ted's a stud. I know he's run more than that. He's an Ironman. But and Dan's done this race 5 times, right, Dan? At least 5 times.
Yeah, that was the sixth.
Okay. So we'll go around the table. You guys can tell me what you thought of the race and what your if you had to pick your top three highlights of the day, and then you know how you're recovering. So Dan, when you give us a go?
Okay. it's just a big old festival and. We had that excellent condo right there by the start, which is really nice.
And yeah, that was sweet.
I decided when it looked like it was going to be muddy that I'd build up a single speed, and so 2 days before the race, I built a single speed and decided to race that. That was fun. The course was not as muddy as I thought, so it kind of backfired. I guess the funnest part of that is beating the guys on really fancy bikes on a $200 bike.
So I haven't really debriefed with you yet, Scott, and I was amazed to see your time in 8:40. What's your marathon time?
I did a 3:09 in Philly.
A 3:09?
Yeah.
All right. See, that's so you're about the same speed I am. So I'm wondering why you kicked my ass by a half an hour.
I wouldn't say 20 minutes is or whatever 25 minutes is really that much better. You know,
what'd you think?
I thought it was great. I mean, it was such an. I mean, your first ultra. It's just a perfect place to do it. I think Vermont 50 for so many reasons. You know, the trails are great. Some of the switchbacks are so fun. I don't know. Just sort of had a ball. You know, as with marathons, there's some ups and downs, and I definitely had some downs while I was running. You know, there's certain walls I had trouble getting over. Even it was like mile 19, I think it was. It was from like mile 19 to 25. I was like, how am I going to finish this thing? I'm not even halfway done. And then you just sort of pull through, you know. It never gets worse, as they say, and I kept thinking that. And, you know, I just kept moving. I didn't stay at aid stations very long. I just enough to refill whatever I needed, and I just pushed on. And, I was happy. It was great. It was so much fun. I mean, that finish line was the best thing I ever saw. I went barreling down that hill just like, oh, my God. It was great. And it was right before all the rains came, too, so that was nice.
Yeah, I like the way they had the hay bales set up around all the aid stations and the finish line. So, like, if people were too wasted to stop, they'd just run into the hay bales.
That was nice.
Actually, I think that's there for the mountain bikers, but...
Well, yeah.
If you want to think that way, you go right ahead.
But what are you saying, Anna? They don't make hay bales big enough to stop my...
Yeah, maybe.
My bulky frame?
I think it's more you're just not that dangerous.
The snow fencing enough. So Ted, you had kind of a rough day. I passed you at mile 18. You weren't real happy.
Well, I tell you, I was happy for about 17 miles, something like that. Beautiful, beautiful course. I was just really psyched to be there. And as Chris knows, I've got a internal plumbing system that some days just doesn't show up. Had some issues in the past, and it unfortunately for me turned out to be one of those days where I did everything I could to break through those walls that Scott was talking about, but there was some parts of me that were headed south, and so I unfortunately needed to pull the plug on it. But then I got a ride back, and I went and slept for about an hour till I felt better, and then watched everyone finish. And you know, even though I ran basically a marathon distance in the mud, I just felt like you know, a loser for watching everyone else really finish the thing. And I thought, geez, I got to come back here and conquer this. And you know, as soon as I got home, I'm like, I wonder if there's any other 50 milers around this fall. And sure enough.
Where am I
going to
find a good one?
I'm taking a look at Stone Cat right now. I really feel like I got to get back on this horse before it starts psyching me out. And I'm just really impressed with really the three of you. And you know, it's motivating. It's very motivating and humbling when you feel like I did. Like I gotta pull the plug on this thing. Unfortunately.
Yeah, I was really curious to see how you do, because you didn't have a whole lot of distance. I mean, you have the aerobic base from your Ironmans, but yep. You didn't have a lot of distance. But that being said, you're probably one of the best runners I know. I mean, with your marathon PR of 2:40-something, you're way faster than Scott or I. So I was just wondering how that would play out for you, you know, whether you something would go weird in the high miles for you. You know, so if your internals hadn't acted up, I was curious to see if, you know, how much you hit the wall and whether it mattered. Did you go out fast? Did you go out at like, you know, a 6:30 clip?
No.
On those roads at the beginning? No.
No, not 6:30s. I definitely let people go. There were times I felt really good where I just felt like, all right, this is a slight downhill. I'm just gonna let the legs fly, and you know, why not? But for those of us who have run Boston, with all the downhills that are in Boston, you know, that takes a toll for sure. But Chris and I ran the Wapak Trail Race, what, 4 weeks before? Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I, you know, 2 days after that race, I felt like I had hammered a marathon. It was only 17 miles. I mean, I was
from the downhills. Yeah.
From the downhills, pounding those downhills. But after the Vermont 25 that I did, you know, I was out running the next day. My legs felt fine, which, you know, made me think, okay, you know what, your gut had a really bad day, and there was nothing you could do about it, and so you move on to the next day.
Yeah, so I'll tell you about my race. I'll try to be succinct, although that's hard for me. One of the things I really liked is, like Friday and Saturday, I was nervous. And it's been a long time since I've walked into a race going like, oh my God, you know, I'm nervous, right? I'm all adrenaline filled. So that was kind of cool. You know, it was, you know, undiscovered country again, right? And the first few miles, I was surprised by how many roads there were. I thought there'd be more trails.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing as you, Scott. I felt a little bit of a wall around like 20 somewhere in there. I felt kind of crappy in there for a little bit. But then like 30 plus, between like 30 and 40, I was positively euphoric. I was running down those hills laughing, you know, having a blast.
You're right. Those mileage, for some reason, 30 to 40, I was just on cloud nine. I think I hit it again at 40. I hit the wall again at 40.
Right, and then around 45, that last aid station, I was like, you know what, this is that end of the marathon sort of feeling, right? And yep. and then I just started getting angry, and it was race time, you know, because the course just got crappy in the last 10 miles. There was all this ankle deep mud that you couldn't get around. And so, yeah, that's where I was, too. And I felt like I raced it, though. I didn't feel like I was jogging. I felt like I put in a good effort. And Monday of this week, the day after the race, I felt like I was sort of in trauma, like in shock, you know? Like my body didn't hurt. My body didn't hurt, but it was sending me weird, you know, like broken messages.
That's awesome.
I mean, did you feel that way?
Yeah, both physically and, well, mostly mentally. There was like wires gone wrong or something. I felt the same
exactly.
way. Off, very off. And it almost, I don't know if it took away from my excitement, but I'm more excited today than I was on Monday. You know, I don't know what it was. It's taking a couple days to really let it sink in. I think I was just wiring differently on that Monday. I agree with you.
Yeah, and I think a person I talked to described it as shock, and I think that's really accurate. It's like traumatic shock, mentally and physically.
Well, I think mentally, you know, as well, when you think about you're out there for, you know, roughly 9 hours, and you need to pay attention to where every single stride you're landing, or you could roll your ankle or what have you. I mean, and that takes a lot of concentration.
Yeah. And a couple more things that I really noticed, three things about the course itself. First of all, it was phenomenally beautiful course. I mean, that's right up my alley. I love those dark woods with the switchback trails. I love that stuff.
The past 3 years have been really just beautiful, sunny and clear, and there's some vistas out there that are just gorgeous.
Yeah, so I stopped.
Hopefully next year when you come back and it's sunny, you'll really love the course.
Maybe I'll ride a bike next year.
There you go.
but the three attributes. One I already said is I didn't expect that many roads, like those hard dirt roads, and the downhills. I'm really glad I trained a lot of mountain races, a lot of downhills, and then the uphills too, because I had my mountain stride. Because if you aren't ready for mountains, I guess I'm saying it was a lot hillier, a lot more elevation gain and loss than I thought.
I was trying to warn you about that.
Yeah, I think everybody did, and I sort of ignored them. I said, oh, push mountains, I can run mountains.
Yeah,
go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. I felt that I knew it was going to be hilly because, I mean, I've been training around here in Western Mass, you know, on a lot of the trails. And there's steeper trails, more technical trails here than what we did, yet it was always hilly. Whether it was up or down, there was always a grade. And
right.
Where I run, it's a steep grade, then maybe flat for a while. And I think there was almost no flats on that entire run. And if you did hit a flat, you felt very awkward. You're like, what are we doing here? I'm going here.
Exactly.
It felt awkward. So, yeah, I agree with you in that, too.
Yeah, and some of those long, shallow uphills and long, shallow downhills kind of felt awkward, too, you know, when you came off the mountains. You weren't able to really race those like you would in a 10K.
Right.
You know, I'm wondering for Chris and Scott that I've got mostly I love running trails, but most of the racing I've done has been marathons on roads or triathlons, and so I felt like I wasn't used to hitting a steep uphill and walking it, and then running again at the top, and it was that stop and go, and I'm wondering, did you guys run most of the hills? If you did walk, did you train that way?
Well, go ahead, Scott.
I mixed it up quite a bit. I actually went by how I felt, and typically what that means is the beginning of the race, I was mostly running up the uphills, and near the end, I was running up less steep uphills. I would walk the very steep uphills, or the ones that felt my heart was just pounding. I'd just stop and walk and walk with a very fast stride. I did practice that during my training runs, like I said, were on steeper terrain, and I walked that at a very fast pace, like a very rapid hike.
Yep.
And it is a different stride, and you can tell who's done it and who hasn't. And I agree with you. I had trouble disciplining myself to say walking is okay.
Yep.
Definitely during my training, because I was like, I can't imagine that. In a marathon, if I walked, I would blow my time. I can't walk. So it was hard to discipline myself to do that. But yeah, I walked. I don't know how much percentage, but I definitely walked part of it, part of the steeps.
See, that's where your 25 minutes came from, because I was perfectly okay with walking early and often. Because I had run the mountain series last summer, and I had trained for Washington, so I spent all early spring basically practicing power walking up a 13% grade, right?
Yeah.
So I do this thing where I fall into a cadence where I'll run 24 strides, then power walk 24 strides, and I have a cadence. That way it sort of keeps your head in the game. And you can. That's what you do for the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually trained for it, Ted, and I do that specifically, that power walk, that long toe off stride with swinging the arms, right?
Yep.
He's still doing it. The other thing I was surprised with is how many women there were in the race.
Run. Strong.
And in front of me too. Like, I mean, that's just amazing, because a lot of the trail races we go to, and even some of the longer distance races, it's 98% 40-year-old guys like me, right? Or 40 plus. So that was kind of cool.
I didn't see many women, actually, and I don't know why that is. I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't nearly very far ahead of you at all, but I didn't see many women.
I ran with you. So and at the starting line there was a good mix, you know.
There were a lot of women bikers.
Well, we saw a lot of the women bikers, cuz they were in the back of the pack. Scott, I don't know how many. Did you have a lot of bikers up where you were?
Yeah, there was a handful, and you're right, many. It was a mix of men and women, but there's a lot of bikers, yeah.
Yeah, and Dan, I wanted to talk to you about that, because the bikers that we were passing were kind of the fat guys and the, sort of the casual bikers.
Right.
And these guys, when they're going up these hills, they're either pushing the bike or they're getting in low gear and grinding. Where, when I was spending time on the racing bike anyhow, and Ted, when you're on the triathlon, you hit a hill like that, you're up in the pegs and you're driving the hill. I mean, you guys have been on the bikes. You're up in the pegs and you're working those hills, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to get up them. And, everyone has sections where they're hiking their bike. I don't know, maybe the top couple guys clean all the hills.
Right.
But in that race, I don't think so. For example, we were talking about Leadville. And this year is the first year that anybody has cleaned what they call the power line section of Leadville. And Leadville's a much easier course as far as pedaling. And that was Lance Epanth and Dave Weems, and they kind of egged each other into it for the first time. So I think all these ultra mountain bike races, there's sections where you're burning too many matches to try and climb it. You might as well do a little recovery, get your bike up.
I was going to say, just from my Ironman experience, is you don't want to go anaerobic,
right?
And if you do, I like the term you had there. You're burning matches pretty quickly, and you could get yourself into a hole really quickly. And the one thing I've learned by wearing a heart rate monitor on the bike is, you get out of the saddle on something steep to pop up on over a hill, but when you get out of the saddle, you're less efficient. You're more powerful, but you're less efficient, and your heart rate goes up pretty quickly.
Right.
And so you got to time it right to pop over the top, but you get out of your pedals at the bottom of a hill, long hill, you're going to be burning a lot of matches by the time you get to the top.
Well, with the single speed, you don't have a lot of choices.
That's true.
You pretty much can't jump wherever. But there were occasions where I was actually with the bike on my shoulder, passing guys who were still pedaling, because they'd be way down in that granny gear, and you could just walk right past them.
Yeah. And I was following one guy down a switchback, like somewhere in the 20-30 mile range, and he was struggling down this switchback, and I was right on his tail, harassing him, right? And I say, man, that's really difficult, because they kept saying to us, Scott, any of the bikers kept saying, I can't believe you guys are running this, you guys are great. They're really good about it. They're sort of in awe of the runners. But I'm looking at this guy struggling down this switchback. I'm going, I can't believe you guys are mountain biking this. I'd break my neck.
Yeah, I had the same thing. People were like, what are you running, 50 or 50K? I'm like, 50 miles. Like, I can't even fathom that. And I just look at them like, I don't know how you do it on the bike. I'm not a biker, but still, even if I were, it's a tough course. Everyone's got to get credit for that. I mean, there's no the running or the biking, neither is harder than the other. They're different, It's a challenge.
Hey, Chris, can I ask real quick? I know we're probably running out of time, but just quick round the horn. What was a favorite thing you ate or drank at the feed stations?
I can give you mine. And it was this, I had potatoes and salt, dipped it in salt, and it was awesome.
I always have a couple of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And there used to be a woman up at the top of the hill at 35 that had great oatmeal raisin cookies, but she wasn't there this year. It's kind of bummed.
Yeah, I went with the PB&Js, too. And one of the things that kind of made me mad at the aid stations is some of them, they just had the coolers, the Gatorade coolers with the little spigot on it that dribbles out. Yeah. And there was like 10 bikers standing in the line with their Camelbacks, right, waiting for their 5-gallon fill-up. And I'm like, hey, I don't want to be here. I want to run. Get the hell out of my way.
That race has made me hate heat. I hate that stuff with a passion. I cannot go near it.
Yeah, so a lot of the back of the pack bikers, Dan, they're just hanging out. They're picnicking at these aid stations.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
We're racing. We're running through, and we're like, hey, come on.
Right.
Yeah. Let's go. Yeah. And so as far as nutrition goes, Scott, I don't know about you. I ate maybe 12 goos, not goos, but hammer gels. I had a bottle and a half of Heed, a couple of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I ate probably 40 Enduralites, which I'm sold on.
Wow.
And what else? What else did I eat? Oh, some of the energy balls I was making.
Oh, yeah.
Peanut butter energy balls. So what did you eat?
Yeah. I mean, I have one of those Nathan backpacks. I drank water most of the entire time. I had some Heed along the way. Probably about 6 gels, various kinds. I did have some Enduralites. I had about 6 of those. I didn't eat that much. I had 3 Fig Newtons, which helped me through some parts. And then those potatoes, like I said. Oh, you know what else I carry with me are the Cliff Shop Locks.
Oh, yeah.
I love the margarita. It has a little salt in it, and those help me get along because it's something to chew as opposed to the gel. So that's about it. There was a section, actually, where I went 5 miles without any liquids, and I forgot to fill up my bladder, and I was hurting for 5 miles.
Yeah,
lots of water.
But I felt my nutrition was good. It was balanced. I wasn't hurting. How were you at the end of the race? Did you have any? Did you bonk at all in the last 5-6 miles?
No. I felt. I think the adrenaline was kicking in, so I kept going. I didn't bonk really.
Yeah, I felt kind of crappy.
I felt a little weird. I felt a little weird at the end after you finished. Like I didn't know what to eat. I wasn't sure. I was kind of confused on what to put in my body at that point. I did have a beer, which actually worked pretty good wonders, but
yeah, that's great. And you camped out, right, in the pouring rain?
Yeah, I didn't get any sleep the night before. I got maybe an hour of sleep the night before. Because, you know, you go to bed at 10 at the campsite, and then you just lay there and hear the water pound on your tent.
Right.
In this case, I was in a VW bus, an old 76 VW bus, so I heard it pound on the canopy. you're just thinking about the race the whole night. I was, at least. Like you said, Chris, it was sort of one of those races where you start to get a little bit kind of nervous and, you know, butterflies in your stomach because it's something you've never done before. So I didn't get any sleep, but that didn't matter. I knew that wouldn't matter.
So you're going to do another one after Kona this weekend. Dan, what's your next race?
Racing down at the cyclocross, the Kunamessa cyclocross this weekend.
How long is that event?
45 minutes. it goes through a beer tent.
Oh, okay. This is the thing where you ride your bike and then carry it and run uphill.
Yeah, and jump over hay bales and, yep.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds kind of European to me.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah. Scott, what are you going to do? You going to go for the 100 now?
Oh, God, no. I'd like to do another 50 for sure. I'm hooked, definitely. I'm definitely going to do this next year. I got Boston in my sights for April, but I got to fit something in between there, either a marathon or an ultra between now and April, Boston.
Yeah.
Just got to pick it. I was looking at the Stonecat. Someone said they were thinking about doing the Stonecat.
Yeah, this is Ted, yep. Thinking that.
Hey, Ted.
Where's that?
It's in the Ipswich. It's four loops, so you do the same thing four times.
Yeah, that could be a little bit tough.
50 miles.
Yeah, 50 miles in Ipswich, which is easy.
What's the terrain like?
I'm not sure.
I heard it's it is trails, but it's not nearly as hilly. Obviously, it's in Ipswich, so it's more rolling.
I'm not sure the hills are a bad thing. I think they break it up. You know, I can't see running 50 miles on a road. I don't think I could do it.
No, I agree.
So, all right. I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to eat potato chips. Watch TV.
Fine choice.
Yeah. Run some 5Ks.
Do you have a marathon?
I'm thinking about doing a marathon in November. But now I'm scared because I don't know how slow I am now, you know. Be out running those 10-minute miles at the 5K. walking the uphills, running the downhill.
Yeah, I'm going to show up with one of my big Nathan backpack on for my next 5K.
Exactly. All right, everybody slow down. I got to eat now.
what are you people, crazy?
All right, guys, that was a hoot. I hope we do it again next year.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Let's plan on it.
And thanks for joining me. All right.
All right, Chris.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Here's bye. Yeah.
All right. That's it. Halfway in, just by the 25-mile mark. A lot of long, shallow uphills, long, shallow downhills on this course. So I'm doing a lot more power walking than I thought I was going to. Which isn't, you know, it's okay, because I know how to mountain run, so. But if I didn't know how to mountain run, this course would eat you up, because the hills are too shallow to walk and too steep to run in a lot of places, so. Really, you need to know how to mountain run. So, hey, 25 in, halfway there. Woo-hoo! Let's hear it. That's it, man. 30 miles in. Feeling pretty good. A little wobbly back there, but geared up. Had a little peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I'm running some more. That was those were all the people who came out specifically to see me. 30 miles in. That's it. We're off the map from here. Terra incognita. There'd be dragons here. All right, that was 35.6, I think, or 36.5, something like that, I don't know. Had a really tough downhill section to get up for that one. I mean, uphill. Downhill's not bad. I'm flying on downhills. Feel pretty good. But it comes and goes in waves. keeping myself well doped up with Endurolites. Just had another peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Those are pretty good. Lots of goo. Kind of laying off the energy balls right now. See what goes. But 15 miles. Feels pretty good. Spreading out a little bit. I've been taking some people, especially at these stops. People tend to hang out at these stops. I don't know why. It's starting to drizzle a little bit. The mud hasn't been bad. Supposedly there's a really bad section up here at mile 42, but hey, it's not bad so far. Not bad. I think it's a keep. And I'm at 620, so I'm pretty much way ahead of my time. Hey guys! This is Chris. Just got through aid station. I don't know which one, but it was like, mile 39, 40, something like that. So, looks like we're getting into some muddy bits now. But everything's pretty good. My legs are a little wobbly. Eating a lot. Staying on schedule. So, I don't know, my quad was shooting a little bit of pain, but I think it's more cramps than damage. So I'll just tell it to shut up. Keep going. Here we go. A little bit of a hike. All right. Up we go. Oh, by the way, I'm making great time. I'm 6:59. On to the finish. One more aid station. Hey, man. This is Chris. I'm still running. 45.4. Nothing left but start racing. I'd like to tell you I feel good, but it would be a lie. But I'm still moving forward, and I'm running. I ain't walking.
See which way you're going. I'm going the opposite.
Well, that's blue. I'm going yellow. See you at the barbecue, man. Arrivederci. Half mile to go. Downhill and ski slope. Just make it look good for the cameras. Oh. I feel like somebody beat me with a stick. Time for me to fly. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do it. That's it. We got it. Stretch it out. Pick it up. Put them down. That's it. Now you get this bitch. Come on. Okay, that's it. Good work.
Thanks, man.
Oh, that's what I've been looking for. Jeez! Thanks, man. Thanks, man. Thanks, man. For the cameras. Say it again. Say it again.
How 904.
All right.
Nice job, Chris.
Hey, folks. This is Chris. Here's my ultra marathon update. Bottom line is, I did really well. I ran a 904 on a very hilly, very difficult course up in Vermont, and had a blast. Felt good. Ran right through it. Only the last couple miles were a struggle, and that's more because the course was really gnarly in the last, 8 to 10 miles. The course was really nasty. My feet were dry until the 40-mile mark, and then they had a bunch of these quagmires you couldn't get around, and I actually had to go, ankle deep, sucking your shoe off kind of stuff. But this course was made for me. A lot of steep downhills, single path, a lot of steep uphills. So I got to deploy all my mountain running tactics and was flying on the downhills, walking and running the uphills, doing my cadence. Good nutrition. I ran out of gels at the end. I could have used one more. I think I ate 12. I probably had 40. those electrolyte tablets, the Endurolytes. They were great. Actually, towards the end, the last like 2 miles, I was out of gels, so I just chewed on one of those those Endurolytes. So the stats here. The stats are going to be 46 next month, 190 pounds, and trained all summer for this. My long run was a 36. Course was 9,000, just about 9,000 feet of elevation gain and 50 miles long. And so anyhow, that's it, man. Ultra marathon, check, 904. Ha! 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 Okay, stick a fork in it, folks. That's episode 30, my ultra marathon wrap-up with my friends. Had some fun. That was a worthwhile investment of my life. I'm going to play you some music now. I can't say the name of this band because it's got a dirty word in it, but I'll abbreviate. They're called Effin' Beautiful. And the... Yeah, that's right. And I thought it was apropos. The name of the band is Here Comes the Pain Again. The name of the song, that is, right? So, hey, we'll see you out there.
I'm waking dead of night. The dog is slowly beating. And through the cracks and holes, the blood is slowly seeping. The beat is getting loud. The pain again. I hear this and roar. And then the bolt of lightning. The duck is running wild.
Listening to the Run Run Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.